If you want to know how America can come together after a contentious election, just look at Bigfoot, says biologist Renee Holland. Holland doesn't believe in Bigfoot. She's a scientist. And yet, she co-hosts a show on Animal Planet called Finding Bigfoot, where she is the lone skeptic on a team of believers traveling America interviewing Bigfoot witnesses. Holland says she's learned how to stay skeptical without dismissing.
Now, the mind plays tricks on you, especially in a moment of complete fear. But I really believe this kid saw something.
OSHA, I don't know what you saw, but I believe that you saw it and you were terrified. I think you're incredibly brave.
How do you reach out to someone who believes something that you think is unbelievable? Holland says it's all about asking questions, like she did with that young boy who saw something in the woods.
The question becomes, what did they see? I know he saw something. He was excited about it. What did he see? Did he see a bear or some shadow that manifested in his mind as something larger that his mind's created that speaks to the human psyche, the unknown, Bigfoot, protector of the woods? Or did some neighbor throw on a costume and run through? You know, I don't believe Bigfoot is a biological undiscovered species. But that being said, thousands of people per year report seeing Bigfoots. And I, as a scientist, try to reconcile that. And I believe there are biological and psychological reasons for the majorities of these encounters and these reports.
But why not be the scientist in that moment who says, here are the reasons why you didn't see what you probably didn't see what you thought you saw?
One of my favorite things about Finding Bigfoot is that, well, twofold. Number one, I love Bigfoot. I love the idea and possibility of Bigfoot. That was me 40 years ago. That was
me too, by the way.
Yeah. I grew up in South Dakota watching In Search Of on television with my dad. And Bigfoot was really our special bond. So even though I don't believe it's real, I love the idea of it. The other favorite part for me of this TV show is the definite connection that I can make with witnesses who, coming into a situation knowing they're going to meet Renee Holland, the skeptical scientist, that we're not tearing each other down. I go into that situation not telling somebody what to think. I'm trying to understand what happened to them. What did they experience? How frustrating is it for a witness, to many who it's incredibly emotional, knowing that they're going to be ridiculed, knowing that they're going to be receiving flack and it could impact them in very negative ways, to step up, come forward, and say they had this experience. And then here I come strolling in, because I have some type of degree or something, or because I'm on a TV show, I'm going to tell you what happened to you? Absolutely not. That, I think, is what gets us into these situations of being so polarized and setting a stage for vitriol that has run rampant, unfortunately, through our culture on so many issues. I want to be an example of having some empathy and compassion and coming in, looking somebody in the face and being vulnerable. I love Bigfoot stories. I'm curious. I've never seen one. I would love Bigfoot to be real. Tell me what happened.
Well, let's talk more about disagreeing and understanding. First of all, you've got these three co-hosts on this show, major Bigfoot believers. What's your relationship like with them after 7 years?
We're a dysfunctional family. We get along sometimes. Heck yeah, we fight and we disagree. But at the end of the day, we make it work. I really respect what the guys do. They believe, and they've been doing this all their lives. Again, if Finding Bigfoot weren't a TV show, Bobo, Cliff, Matt would still be out doing what
they do. They'd still be in those woods.
And they are constantly ridiculed in a capacity and arena that I'm not.
But they know you think they're wrong.
Oh, you bet they do.
Yeah.
It frustrates them. It really does. I think an outstanding example, and I think a stellar person to kind of set the bar for is Bob Gimlin. We're approaching the 50th anniversary of the Patterson-Gimlin film, the famous film where Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin are near Willow Creek and come around a bend on horseback, and the large figure crosses the screen.
It's the one we've all seen, the glance over the shoulder, the shaky.
It's a Zapruder film of the Bigfoot community, yes. Bob Gimlin was there, and we were fortunate enough to go to the location on horseback with Bob. And I went there and told Bob my experience, how I got into the Bigfoot community, my love of Bigfoot, the connection I have with my father, and also my belief system. We got along perfectly. He completely understood. He says, I understand, you know, Renee, if I hadn't been there, you know, I wouldn't believe too, which is what so many witnesses
say. He's not threatened.
Yeah, I'm not trying to tell you what you saw. I don't understand it. Please explain it to me. So as Bob is there and we're reviewing this and doing our own version of a recreation, the guys were kind of on me, a little bit, being some, shall we say they were being a little persnickety and ribbing me. And Bob Gimlin turned to them and kind of put them in their place and said, hey, you know, she doesn't give you a hard time about your beliefs, and you should show her the respect and do the same. She's asking me questions. She's not challenging me.
Am I the only one thinking about the presidential election right now as we're talking?
I've been living it for 7 years, Bill.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, we started the show in 2010, and so much of America was angry and feeling themselves marginalized and disenfranchised by talking about the Rust Belt, jobs leaving, their voice, you know, put down. For whatever reason, they generally feel that way and feel angry. I grew up in South Dakota, a very red state. I'm a lesbian environmental activist, so I'm very Seattle urban archipelago liberal bubble. But I'm able to have conversations with my family, so I practice that a lot. But the last 2 odd years of this election, Trump signs easily 50-1. And I would come home on a hiatus, and everybody's all, no problem, Hillary's got this in the bag. And I was turning to my friends saying, you guys, have you left the city limits? Have you talk to any of your folks back in Montana or whatnot, you know, Iowa, wherever, what have you. People just, I chose to be home on election night because I saw a big red wave coming.
Well, the big red wave came. What have you seen happening since the election?
An interesting thing happened to me the day following Election Day, Bill. I was in a canyon. And we were filming, and one of the security officers, he's like a ranger, he was sitting in his vehicle having a phone conversation with somebody, and he was gloating on the people's pain. He was making fun and mocking and laughing at it. And then I went to walk away, and I turned and I looked at him and I said, I got to ask you, are you really happy? Do you really take joy in knowing that people are in pain right now? And he stopped, and he was kind of startled. And I said, because that makes me so sad. I mean, so many people are hurting. I know that so many people have been hurting already. Now they feel that they have some sense of power and are going to turn it back. And I said, I'm just sad that you find joy in that. He said, no, I don't. I said, good, because I know when you were hurting, I wasn't happy. And I want us all to be happy. And I don't know, it made me feel a little bit better that I felt like I didn't yell at him. I didn't tear him down. I just wanted him to know I'm hurting and I'm sad. I want to be vulnerable. I want to look somebody in the eye and have a conversation, a sincere conversation. And I think it's this mentality of proving someone is right or wrong. It's black or white. It's for or against. That mentality is what has gotten us to this horrible place.
But you know, Renee, that there are people saying, no, we exactly need to be against, firmly against now. Otherwise, we slide toward normalizing stuff we don't want.
You do not have to change your stance. You can voice your opinion, but you don't have to tear the other side down. And what I mean by that, it doesn't have to be so black and white, meaning I can have a stance on LGBTQ equality. I want my rights. And you are a Baptist that I met 4 years ago who I blew his mind when he found out I was a lesbian. And I was able to have a conversation with him about my sexuality and religion that happened organically. I didn't try to change his mind. I didn't try to change his mind on his religion. I tried to tell him my experience and why I believe the way I do without calling him a name or tearing him down. The conversation can be vulnerable. The conversation can be gracious. Spending 7 years, often for countless hours in an SUV with three guys, many of them quite strong-willed personalities, can be bulls in china shops. I've learned that I don't have to, when somebody takes a swing at you, I can have some empathy for them that maybe they're hurting and try to be strong and try to sit back. And I'm only in control of how I respond. The only thing I control right now is how I convey my feelings back to someone. I want them to have an example of, I can go into a situation and this guy is adamant, hey, Renee, Bigfoot's real. You're crazy for not thinking it. I said, you know, I would love to see Bigfoot. I want to understand what happened to you. You know, I just don't, you know, I could it have been this, maybe it could have been that, but we can leave there with him not going that blank and so, she's so. Of course, Bigfoot versus abortion, LGBTQ, climate change, or all these are obviously real adult situations. Pressing matters. I mean, I'm grieving not only as a lesbian, as an environmental activist, the changes and the legislation that's going to happen with our environmental issues are frightening right now. I've spent my entire career as a field biologist, as an ecologist, fighting this fight that folks are in office chomping at the bit, salivating to just tear apart. We've got to band together and do something, but I don't want us to treat them the way that they were treating us.
But how do you know when to? You're a scientist. What if someone says to you that climate change is a hoax?
I ask them why they believe that. Whether it's climate change, whether it's homosexuality, whatnot, what have you, the topic. I turn to the person and I say, why did you come to that decision? It's debating 101. Can't we gracefully debate?
Don't you eventually want to change that person's mind?
I can come and say, you know what? As a scientist, this is, I think, really, Bill, what it comes down to. As I'm trying to solve an unknown, whatever mystery, climate change to me, how it comes about and how we solve it is a mystery. And there's elements of it that we know are fact. But I'm a skeptical scientist. We used to think that the Earth was flat. We used to think we'd fall off the edge of it, that the sun revolved around the Earth, all of these
things. There was ether.
Yeah, we have to keep testing these things. So, okay, there's some room for denying it and all of that. But you're constantly asking questions. You know, there's a Carl Sagan quote that I absolutely love. It's, all kids start out as natural-born scientists, and then we beat it out of them. A few trickle through the system with their wonder and enthusiasm intact. One of my favorite quotes. We go from children always asking questions to these jaded cynics assuming we know all the answers. I, as a skeptical scientist, am constantly trying to ask the question, to understand things, not tell somebody what to think, not declare and stick a flag in and put my hands on my hips. I'm trying to bridge a gap.
Biologist Renee Holland is the lone skeptic on the Finding Bigfoot team on Animal Planet. And she says that she hopes to bring a delegation of scientists to meet with President Trump and show him what science and questioning and listening are all about. Would you like to hear more from Renee Holland? Because she's giving a talk at TEDx Seattle this Saturday. And we're tweeting out more information right now at KUOW.